Good morning. Good to see all of you guys here today. Glad you can make it out with the floods. I'm grateful for another opportunity to preach. I'm also grateful that I was born to my parents in a Bible-believing, God-fearing home where I was taught from the scriptures from a young age and saved at a young age. It was true evidence of God's grace. And because of that, I'm very familiar with today's text. It was quoted to me very often. So if you would turn to Colossians 3, 20 through 21. Colossians 3, 20 through 21 should have the page number on there for the Pew Bibles. Colossians 3, 20 through 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Fitting passage to assign me today, Dad. Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians, the congregation of the church in Colossia. This church contains Christians of all ages, from children to elderly. And it's in this section of the letter that Paul turns to address the household. We've talked about the supremacy of Christ, putting off the old self and putting on the new. And now we're turning to talk about how this new self should affect all of our different roles in life. Last week, Sam preached on how it should affect wives and husbands. And this week, we'll talk about how it affects children and parents. So we know Christians have been given a new life through Jesus in which God wants us to demonstrate in our family. Out of this gratitude and joy for our salvation, we should strive to live out these roles as God desires and as Paul commands us here. So, the passage. Children, obey your parents, and fathers, do not provoke your children. Let's dive into the first command, children, obey your parents. This command appears in the Bible several places. Around the same time that Paul is writing to the Colossians, he's also writing to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus. In fact, it's highly likely that both of these letters were delivered by the same guy, Paul's dear brother and fellow servant, Tychicus, on the same trip. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 goes into this command in a little bit more depth, and it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Paul here is referring to the fifth commandment of Moses, which says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The command to honor and to obey, they're a little different. To honor is to prize, to show care, to respect, and to show reverence. This is a command to children not only when they're living in the home under their mother and father, but also when they grow older. You will always have to honor your mother and father. But while you are in the home, you must show a certain kind of obedience, especially in a generation where youth is worshipped and chaste and old age is dreaded. We are to prize and honor our elderly. This is an important command, for it's the first command with a promise. It's a command that's repeated, too. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, written by the wisest man to ever live, talks about the wisdom of parents or children obeying their parents many times. We talked about it in small group not too long ago with the youth. I said I would be preaching this directly to them. But it talks about how obeying your parents is like a wreath, like a trophy, a victory around their neck. Rebellion is costly, and many have paid a high price personally for their rebellion against their parents. This is why God promises long lives to those who obey their parents. He highly values this obedience. If you can't obey your parents, you won't obey God. A good child lengtheneth his father's days, therefore God promiseth to lengthen his. Furthermore, disobedience of parents is a grave error, a wicked sin. Out of all the Ten Commandments, I never took the command to obey one's parents as that weighty of a command. I looked at all the don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery and thought those are the big sins. I kind of glossed over obeying one's parents. However, the Bible says otherwise. In his letter to the Romans, Paul again talks about God's wrath on the unrighteous. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner, and this is going to be a long list of very evil things, unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree, and those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So I always glossed over this, disobedience to parents, not a big deal, but Paul places it right behind inventors of evil. It's a grave sin. Disobedience to parents is a big deal. We are to obey our parents as we are to obey our Father in heaven. That being said, let's apply this command. How do I live out my role of a child as a Christian? Children, you are to obey your parents even when you don't want to. When you are told to do something that you don't desire, you are to do it anyways. Unless your parents are calling you to sin, Lord willing they aren't, then it does not matter what you want to do. You must deny yourself and obey your parents. You may not want to obey for a multitude of reasons that we'll go into soon, but the general excuse does not hold any weight. God commands you to do so, so you must do it. Children, obey your parents even when it's not fun. If you've driven by our house in Hillcrest recently, you might have noticed that the massive trees in our backyard are gone. They were dying, they were rotting from the inside, and so my parents decide to cut them down. And then they plan a Saturday morning where we, as a family, will clean them up. So that was going to be a lot of fun. And I think I was just recently back from college, so I wasn't really acclimated to living at home again and not just being able to go out whenever I wanted. And so I was asked by a friend if I wanted to go out and get food. And so I was like, I should probably check with my dad. And he said no, that we needed to help and stay clean up. And so I wasn't used to this again. And I just immediately got really irritated and annoyed. And I listened, but I wasn't obeying with a happy heart. If you obey with an unhappy heart, it is not true obedience. It's not just the physical act of obeying the command, but also obeying the command with your heart. While I was picking up sticks, I was not obeying till I checked my heart and realized that I was mad and repented. There were a lot of more fun things I could have done, but because I'm still a child and because I was still living in my parents' house, I must obey my parents with my hands and my heart, even when it's not fun. Children, obey your parents even when you think you know better. When you were told to do something, or in this application, more likely told not to do something, you must obey even if you think you know better. There are two instances I can think of. First, maybe you're told to do something in a certain way, a specific way, let's say organizing the groceries in the fridge. I remember when my mom would get home with groceries and we would try to rush through it and just put them in there fast, she would always be irritated when they weren't done properly. If my mom has asked me to organize the groceries in the fridge a certain way, it would be disobedience for me to hastily or lazily put them away and organize them differently. Now, maybe I could lovingly suggest a different method that might work better or be more efficient, but that typically wasn't my desire, my aim. Maybe it seems like I'm being harsh, but disobedience, even if in a small way, is an affront to God. Furthermore, if you don't obey your parents in the small things, you will be less likely to obey them in the important matters. And if you don't obey your parents in the important matters, you are less likely to obey God, not to mention that you're already disobeying God by disobeying your parents. In the second instance, maybe you were told not to do something. Maybe you're advised and told to drive careful, not to drive over the speed limit when it's raining outside. Maybe you're running late for work on your first day and the ground's just a little wet, so you're not really thinking about it much. Maybe you're looking for your turn on T.R. Hughes Boulevard and you don't see it, and so you go to turn and hydroplane, and maybe you hop the barrier and knock over a sign, and maybe you pop your tire and have to walk 40 minutes to work and are late on your first day and have to pay $800 to fix your car. I hope that doesn't happen to you guys, but that would be disobedience if you did. Not only is it foolish, it's disobedience. My parents constantly quoted to me as a child, obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey is always better than to disobey in an attempt to make everything right or better. Even when you think you know better, you must obey your parents. Children, obey your parents even when it's uncool. As a child, specifically a teen, trying to fit in or look cool consumes a great portion of your life. There are many times where parents' rule or advice is countercultural or doesn't really fit into what all the cool rebellious kids are doing in high school. For example, I remember not wanting to wear a helmet when I rode my bike because I thought it was uncool. My mom would say that not having brain damage was cool, but I just didn't want to look like a dork. However, as a kid, my mom required I wear it if I wanted to ride my bike. Children, do not disobey your parents in an attempt to look cool. In fact, Paul writes about this in Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world. Children, don't sin against God and your parents to be like the world. That is the wide and easy path to destruction. The world will continue in its ways of unrighteousness as you continue to age, and even when you are no longer required to obey your parents, as a Christian, you will still be required to not be conformed to this world. The gospel is not popular, the gospel disrupts lives, and if you truly strive to glorify God, you will not fit in. So build this habit now while it's easier and while obeying your parents in the little things can be accomplished. Obey your parents even when it's not cool. Children, obey your parents even when you don't understand. Many times I've argued about doing something because I didn't understand. Mom, why do you want me to make my bed at 3 p.m.? It's unmade all day. I'm going to get back in it soon. It doesn't feel like a big deal. My mom will give me her reasons. She doesn't like seeing unfinished business and unkept rooms. Sure. But even it doesn't matter if I agree or if I understand. I have to obey. She's my mother. She's not asking me to sin, so I must obey. A good example of this obedience is modeled by Isaac, not my brother, unfortunately, in Genesis 22. God tests Abraham's faith by commanding him to sacrifice his one and only promised son, Isaac. Abraham and his wife have been barren for years, and he finally has this promised son. And as he's, 13, 14, 15, God says, if you truly love me, go sacrifice your son. And he listens. So Abraham and Isaac and his servants gather the wood, and they head towards the mountain that God's commanded. Abraham leaves his servants at the foot of the mountain and has Isaac carry the wood to the top. Isaac asks, we have the fire and the wood, but where's the offering? Abraham tells him that God will provide, and then has his son lay on the altar and be bound. And he obeyed. We can be sure Isaac did not understand for the majority of this trip what was going on. They trekked for 3 days with no offering. And even when Abraham was binding him to the altar, Isaac obeyed. Isaac easily could have not complied. Abraham was very old. He was in his hundreds. Isaac was physically stronger than Abraham. So the fact that he got on the altar and was tied to it is a sign of his obedience. And that's not even to mention Abraham's obedience of having to kill his own son. In the end, he does not have to kill his son. God provides an offering. But this is a great example of obedience to God and obedience to your parents. Children, even when you don't understand, even when it's confusing, obey your parents. They are your authority put over you by God, and like Isaac and Abraham, you do not have to understand to obey. Children, obey your parents even when they will not find out if you don't. Deceitfulness is of the devil. He is the king of lies. Disobedience is secret. Disobedience in secret is a risky game. And even if you end up getting away with it, your secret sin will bring you to death. So many times does disobedience in the hopes of never getting caught turn into bigger, more drastic lies as the sin festers like an infected cut. And eventually, you will pay the price. Jesus says, "For all that is secret will be brought out into the open." God already knows everything. And even if your parents never find you out, your unrepentant sin will always divide you and God. Unrepentant sin can't be forgiven. There is no statute of limitation when it comes to unrepentant sin. It never wears off. Consider the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They sell their field and plan to offer a portion of this offering to the early church. However, they lie in saying that they are giving the full income from that sale. Peter, prompted by the Spirit, finds them out right away. And after they are questioned and lie about it again, God strikes them dead immediately. Furthermore, your parents know you better than everyone. My mom always caught me. She said she could read me like a book. And the consequences were always greater when the disobedience was shrouded in deceit and betrayal and lies. Children, obey your parents even if they will never find out if you don't, even if you think you can get away with it. Children, obey your parents even when you can spiritualize a reason not to. This might be more of a rare occasion, but Jesus speaks of obeying one's parents several times. And as I've been reading through the Gospels, his use of it to rebuke the Pharisees jumps out at me. Jesus says in Mark, "And he continued, 'You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what he might have used, that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down, and you do many things like that.' These Pharisees were neglecting their parents and using God as an excuse. When your parents tell you to do something, you definitely cannot use God as an excuse because he wants you to obey. But I'm reading my Bible. But I'm praying. But I'm practicing worship music. But I'm evangelizing to someone." Those could be excuses to helping with chores, could be excuses to getting out of bed in the morning, could be excuses to when you're told to be quiet, often an excuse to dating an unbeliever, I'm evangelizing them. Lord willing, these are things your children are desiring. Lord willing, there are things that they are pursuing, reading their Bible, praying, practicing worship music, if they have those gifts, and evangelizing their friends, but it's not an excuse to sin. Again, obedience is better than sacrifice. Your attempts at glorifying God are nullified or made worthless if you are not living in obedience to your parents. Our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, Paul writes. Children, obey your parents even when you're tired. Regardless of how tired you are, you must obey your parents. I'm not a morning person, and throughout middle and high school, a lot of my angsty comments and quick disobedience came after being woken up by my parents. I was very slow to listen and quick to anger. This was disobedience and not honoring to my parents. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Furthermore, regardless of how late it is or how tired you may be after a long day, you must obey your parents. Working all day does not excuse your disobedience to your parents. If they have set responsibilities and chores around the house for you to do, being worn out does not constitute you not doing them and ignoring them. While it may be irritating to have worked all day and finally gotten the chance to sit down, only to be called across the house to do a chore, this is an opportunity to honor and obey your parents with your obedience. Similarly, children obey your parents even when you're hungry or thirsty. Again, don't let your physical needs deter your obedience. If it's an extreme case, get a drink, get a snack. No matter how hangry you are, you do not have an excuse to disobey and not honor your parents. Again, you will have to exercise special patience and remind yourself what God has commanded you. Children, obey your parents even when you're busy with something. Finally, do not ignore or delay your obedience to your parents just because you are busy with something. Rarely was I ever sitting down doing nothing whenever my parents told me to do something. Often I was preoccupied with something I felt that was more important. "But Mom, I'm busy," I'd say. I'd gotten to a good habit of obeying eventually, but not after that first argument. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. I rarely asked, "Can I finish this first?" I would immediately just say that I was busy. I would have been more in line with God's command for my life if I would have obeyed the first time. Furthermore, a multitude of times I've forgotten to do something my parents asked me to do because I decided to delay it, because I decided to do it later. Children, obey your parents even when you are busy. Nothing is more important than glorifying God. So we have this long list of applications, but before we get into the next point, I want to highlight the only example of perfect obedience to a father that has ever been displayed: Jesus' obedience to his father. Trinity can never be completely understood by our mortal minds, but in the Bible we can clearly see that God is triune, three persons, yet one God. Two of those persons are the Father and the Son. When Jesus was on earth, he displayed this perfect obedience to his Father his whole life. Jesus, like any other human, struggled with temptation and felt strong feelings like anguish and grief, especially on his way to the cross. While he was more courageous than any of us ever could have been, he still felt these feelings to the point where he was sweating blood. He knew he was about to experience life-ending pain, and even more than that, knew that he was going to bear the weight of everyone's sins on his shoulders, of his, the elected sins on his shoulders. He was 100% God and never sinned, but he was also 100% man. And so before his crucifixion, he prays to the Father, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Children, just as Jesus obeyed his Father, even when he felt this anguish and grief and knew that this pain was coming, so should you obey your parents, even when you don't want to feel like that, even when you have a multitude of reasons not to. And Christians, just as Jesus obeyed his Father, so are you to obey your Heavenly Father. This list of applications could apply to you as well. Just because you're tired or you don't want to, you must obey God's word. Now let's explore this second command. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Now mothers should not provoke their children either. But as the head of the household, fathers will be held accountable for shepherding their flock of their children and their wives. Since children are called to submit to parents and wives are called to submit to their husbands, the father bears great responsibility when it comes to leading the family. And here, Paul commands him not to provoke or irritate or exasperate his children, lest they become discouraged. Or as the Amplified Bible says, so they will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. Similarly to how obedience to parents is a weighty matter, discouraging one's children is also a grave matter. As Christian parents, you model Christ for your children. And to discourage them would not be representative of Christ in the slightest. However, children, this is not an excuse to sin. You may not blackmail your parents and cancel out the previous command just because you say you feel discouraged. Discipline is good. Just as the Proverbs commend children for their obedience, they also commend parents for disciplining their children in disobedience. This shows that there is a right and a wrong way to require obedience from your children. How you parent your children is important because as Christian parents, while you are to obey Christ as well, you also model Christ in your parenting. So let's apply this command. How do I live out my role as a parent, as a Christian? Parents or fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children by being harsh. To be harsh is to be unpleasantly rough or jarring, cruel or severe. Obviously, we all know that physical and verbal abuse towards your children is sinful and illegal, but there is an opportunity to be harsh without necessarily being abusive. For example, if a child is caught in a lie over disobedience, a parent's reaction might be to lash out in anger, shouting a reprimand and executing discipline in anger. Whether it is with the rod or a rash removal of privileges, it is easy to be caught up in this rage, this anger, this fiery feeling that consumes all good intentions of discipline and instruction and reproof. But it does not excuse the sin of provoking your children. David says in some of the Psalms, "O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord." And another psalm, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Our Heavenly Father is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, enduring love, mercy, and grace. He does not discipline us in his wrath nor his anger, no matter how righteous his anger is and how just he is to be angry. I propose parenting as God loves us, not gentle parenting or hands-off parenting, but gracious parenting. Parents, do not provoke your children by being harsh. Parents, do not provoke your children by being too demanding or naggy. Every parent here has expectations of their kids, as they should. This is good and this is right to expect obedience and effort from your children. Again, we just talked about how much God values this obedience, so it's normal for you to as well. However, often parents expect too much from their children and even demand it. For example, often when it comes to parents who are overly passionate about sports, they demand a certain level of performance from their children. This is apparent at almost any children's sporting event you might attend. You will most likely hear parents shouting at their children. Parents get very worked up about how their kid is playing or performing, putting pressure on their child that doesn't need to be there, often making them perform worse anyways. They can get persistent and naggy about their children's devotion and focus to these things. This causes discouragement, maybe a loss of love for the sport or activity, and can grow a grudge towards one's parents. This goes for many other areas other than sport too. School, grades, music, performance, appearance. While it's good and right to expect your children to work hard, not quit, and be responsible, and to achieve their full potential, pushing them, it is not good to demand unreasonable expectations. Do not provoke your children by being too demanding or naggy. Parents, do not provoke your children by being too controlling. Helicopter parents. You already know the negative connotation that title carries. Parents who are too controlling often provoke their children to a multitude of discouragements. Don't do that. It's too risky. Let me handle this for you. I'm going to talk to your teacher, your boss, your coach. These parents are trying to do the right thing, but they're over-involved in their child's life, micromanaging details and discouraging their child's maturity. This can often be received with irritation and resentment towards one's parents. Parents, do not provoke your children by being unforgiving. If you were to parent your children perfectly, bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord without failing, your children would still disobey and sin against you, requiring forgiveness. Now, you will not parent your children perfectly, and they will give you plenty of opportunity to forgive them for the various wrongs. By being unforgiving, you do not model Christ well to your children. He is the most forgiving person ever. Furthermore, by always resorting to the rod, you are not modeling God's grace to us. Christ died for us while we were still unrepentant. He forgave us when we were not desiring to be reconciled to him. Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving servant, who himself is forgiven his massive debt by his master, only to turn and have his debtor thrown into prison. Upon finding this, his master says in the book of Matthew, "Then the master called the servant in, 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Parents, if you are Christians today, you have been forgiven an immeasurable debt. You should forgive your children when they come to you repentant. Parents, do not provoke your children by being grumpy or cranky. While life will surely take its toll on you throughout your parenting tenure, it is no excuse to have a poor disposition towards your parents. For the Proverbs say, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." There has no doubt been times in your life already where work or friends or family or finances or future decisions or past regrets or your spouse or your health or poor sleep or the conditions of the world or even your children's disobedience will make you irritable or grumpy or cranky or overwhelmed, anxious, stressed, drive you crazy. But that posture is not honoring to God and will most likely provoke your child. Do not let your own sin provoke your child to sin. Parents, do not provoke your children by embarrassing or belittling them. Often when irritated, or perhaps looking for a laugh in front of friends or family, you may take the route of joking and embarrassing your child. However harmless the intentions are, telling an overly embarrassing story or treating them as if they were incompetent or punishing them in front of family or friends does not show your love for them or honor for God. In fact, all this will do is embarrass your child and grow resentment in them towards you. Similarly, even in private, belittling your child will have the same effect. Talking to them like they're stupid, treating them as if they were incompetent, or teasing them will provoke them towards anger and draw them into sin. Instead, treat your neighbor, your child, as you would want to be treated. Treat them age appropriately, or even like an adult if you expect them to act like one, and love them as your heavenly Father loves you. Before we get into our closing, I want to give an example of a good father, the father of the prodigal son. The parable is a well-known one, but I'll share some of it with you again. Father has two children. He splits the inheritance between them, and one of the children wants his inheritance now. The father graciously gives it to him, and so that child runs off and lives like a prodigal. He spends his money in foolish endeavors until he loses all of it. And there's a famine in the land, and so he has nowhere to go. And so he gets hired on by a farmer to help shepherd farm with some pigs, which were unclean animals back in the day. This is a very low job. And he's so hungry that he longs to eat the pods that the pigs eat. He longs to eat the pig slop. And he thinks to himself at rock bottom, I could go back to my father, and even as a servant, they have plenty of bread, and I'll have a place to stay, and I'll never be accepted back as a son, but I could live as a servant. So he concocts this apology. It's three lines long in the parable, and when he gets to his father sees him through the window on the road and runs to him, and he begins to say this apology, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And when he rehearses it, he has one more line to say. But his father doesn't even let him get to it. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. He doesn't even get his apology out of his mouth. He doesn't even get to finish what he's saying before the father graciously forgives him, embraces him, and celebrates his return, his repentance. The son has been impatient, foolish, reckless, chasing temporary pleasures, and he finally returns desperate and lowly, seeking some kind of forgiveness, but the father restores him completely, not as a servant, not as less of a son, but as his son, his loved son, celebrated son. Children, parents, you will not follow through with these commands perfectly. Most of these applications you will probably fall away from. In every application, you will disobey your parents and you will provoke your children. You deserve hell because of this sin. But out of his great love and mercy, our God has made a way for you to be reconciled to him. By sacrificing his own son in your place, he has made a way. Or now that you have been saved, you do not have to bear the punishment for your sins. This freedom allows you to live a life reflective of him. You will fall, but you will be forgiven just like the prodigal son was. Turn away from your sin. Don't make a life out of being harsh or disobedient. If you know you're a sinner and don't yet know Jesus, your sins have not been paid for. You are currently set to pay the wages of your sin, which the Bible tells us is death, not only in this physical realm, but the death of your spirit forever. Jesus offers eternal life and joy with him. His death can cover your sins. All you need to do is repent of your sins and turn to him. He is forgiven. If you desire this today, please talk to one of our elders before you leave. Floods and natural disasters like this remind us that life is temporary and the current situation you're in could be flipped, and you do not want to die not knowing where you will be. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for today. You are a holy Father. You are perfectly obedient. You are righteous. You are slow to anger. You are quick to forgive. Lord, you are so righteous, you have no reason to forgive us, and out of your abundant mercy, grace, and love for us, you do. When we live like prodigals, when we fall away from all these applications, when we disobey our parents, and when we provoke our children, we deserve your wrath, God. And yet, we know that if we come to you repentant, Lord, that you will embrace us, that you will celebrate us, and that there will be a great noise in heaven as another one has been saved, God. Thank you for your grace on us, God. I pray that we would live to glorify you. I pray that you would fill us with your spirit and that we could live to follow through with these applications and obey our parents and parent our children well. God, I pray that the gospel would inform our lives and that it would be apparent to the outside world and that our actions could be a witness for your work and that our words would help lead people to you, God. You are a loving Father. We love you so much. Please come soon. In Jesus' name, amen.